Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
As we mentioned, this afternoon a House ethics panel will lay out the charges against House Democrat Charles Rangel. 80 years old, he is one of the longest serving members of Congress. He's represented Harlem since 1970, when he ousted the legendary Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Both men have long storied careers representing what could be the country's most famous neighborhood, home to Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Langston Hughes, many, many others. It's inevitable the young buck is going to become the old guard. That doesn't always become a change in political character, though. So the young buck of Powell gave way to the young buck of Rangel, who now has to give way to? What is the new political character coming out of Harlem?
Well, he also gave himself a little kick in the pants, Rangel did, with his ethics problems.
Hey, those haven't been proven,
well,
John Hockenberry.
Still, anyway, he helped himself out there in the torch-passing business.
Joining us now for a discussion about both the history and future of Harlem's political machine is Chris Smith, a reporter for New York Magazine. His latest article about this is Knocking on Harlem's Door. Also joining us, Luther Smith, no relation, a Harlem resident and political organizer. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
I'm not sure about the no relation part, but
we're figuring that out. Could be 6 degrees of separation, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're all related back there somewhere.
Right.
So, Chris, let's talk about your article in particular. Over the course of your reporting, going back to the 1940s and the rise of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., what kind of strikes you about the kind of unique character of politics in Harlem?
Well, I mean, of course, you have to start with it as the capital of Black America for the past really century in a lot of ways, in culture, in politics, in economics. In some ways, it's been both symbolically and practically the center of a lot of American, African American progress. And to represent Harlem, Adam Clayton Powell Jr. was the first congressman in a district that was essentially created in the mid-40s to empower Black Central Harlem, which had been divided up into a series of districts to dilute Black voting power and couple it with the Jewish Harlem and Italian Harlem in those days. And so, you know, in some ways it was ahead of the rest of the country. Powell was the second Black congressman anywhere since Reconstruction, and certainly the most prominent. You know, he became a national and international figure, was way ahead of the curve in pushing for civil rights action, and an incredibly charismatic figure.
Well, he was a charismatic figure, and then when Charles Rangel replaced him, Charles Rangel won the election in 1970. We then got the Gang of Four, and Luther Smith. Maybe you can talk about what has now become kind of this storied Harlem political machine.
Right. I mean, the Gang of Four. I think now they've lovingly embraced it, but I don't think they embraced it when it was first applied to them. We're talking about four individuals that sort of started out their careers more or less at the same time. And interestingly enough, one of the things that doesn't get discussed sometimes is that they weren't always buddies. They actually started out, a couple of them, as rivals. And over the years, they grew into this sort of partnership. We're talking about David Dinkins, Basil Patterson, Percy Sutton, and Charles Rangel. And they all started out in various Democratic organizations around Harlem. Today, we call them clubhouses, but they were called clubhouses then, too. And as they sort of moved up through the ranks, running for the assembly, serving in the assembly, and then going on to other respective positions, elected positions, they sort of had this relationship with each other that they stuck together. They always talked about supporting this action or that action, this candidate or that candidate, and they were in constant contact and communication with each other over the years, which in politics today and even back then was sort of not the general practice.
But it became very effective. I mean, say what you will about the political machine, and much has been said. We're talking about a political machine, Chris Smith, that actually brought millions upon millions of dollars of investment into Harlem. And it's been described, and in fact, one person in your article, Kevin Wardley, described it this way. He said, everybody else has got to go forget them. The machine helps people's lives. I sat at the front desk when I work in Charlie Rangel's office. I got people's lights turned back on, got their heat turned back on. When people had problems with food stamps and immigration, we helped them.
Right. Certainly there have been practical sort of on-the-ground benefits. And to point out, you know, the obvious, this is not unique to either the Gang of Four in Harlem or black politics. You know, in New York you have all sorts of famous ethnic machines, Tammany Hall, the Irish, and so on. It's a natural way to bond together and move forward sometimes as a group. What the flip side is, and, you know, it's not unique, again, to any ethnic group, is that when a group stays in power, it often does it by sticking together and doing it as long as possible.
And sometimes that means ethics violations. Here's Charlie Rangel speaking to reporters last week about the upcoming hearings into charges against him.
For over 2 years, I've been asking them to look at this and to throw out what I believe has no substance.
And since we're kind of talking about echoes of history, I want to play for you a cut actually from Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Here he is talking to a British reporter about the effort of the House Democratic Caucus to strip him of his chairmanship of the influential Education and Labor Committee.
Do you think that this is an attack on you personally or on the Negro race?
I don't know, except that I am being attacked. You know what I am? I am the Black Dreyfus of America. Remember the Dreyfus case?
I do indeed.
They looked for a scapegoat, and they picked the highest-ranking Jew in the French armed forces. But he was later exonerated.
Oh, it gives me goosebumps to hear his voice.
Luther Smith, two incredibly charismatic, iconic figures in Harlem politics, kind of tent poles in the character there, both accused of violations of some sort. Is this a pattern?
I think there is actually a connection. I just think that the kind of animus that may have animated the move against Powell was different in the fact that in Powell's case it may have come from his own party as much as from the other party, and in Charlie's case it definitely is coming from the other party.
And there's also opposition coming from the new guard, which is anxious to replace the political machine, one of whom is Adam Clayton Powell IV. Chris Smith wrote the New York Magazine article, fascinating article, called Knocking on Harlem's Door, and Luther Smith is a Harlem resident and a political organizer. Thanks to you both.
Thanks for having us.